Bibles this morning, we're still talking about holding fast, and we're gonna go to Philippians chapter 2 this morning. We'll have some scriptures up on the screen if you wanna follow up there. We're going to Philippians chapter 2, and actually we'll start off by reading out of the wordy woman's Bible, the Amplified, because it's just so good. It is just so good, and I want us to catch some of that. So we're gonna go to Philippians chapter 2. And as I was praying this week, and as I was, I had quite a few classes that I got to teach this week, and it's always enjoyable to get in the classroom with the kids and to be able to interact with them. And but I began praying, Lord, what is on your heart? What is something that we can share? Because this is not an easy day to be living in. These are not easy times to be living in. And we're told in the Word of God that in the last days, things are going to get worser and worser. It's not going to get better. That's what the Bible says, that in the last days, the love of many will grow cold. In the last days, there's going to be a turning over, and they will call that which is good, they'll call it bad, and that which is bad, they will call good. And think about our language today. What do? Man, that was bad. Well, that was bad, but good bad. You know what I mean? And so my title for my message, if I have a title today, is living godly in an ungodly world. That God is calling us to live godly lives in an ungodly world. And some of the things that I read about and I hear about and the things that are happening, it really is a confirmation to know that we are living, quote, in the last days. Amen? In the last days. Philippians chapter 2, reading starting in verse 12. And again, if you just want to look up at the screen for a moment, and I'm going to go through the Amplified version. So then, my dear ones, just as you have always obeyed my instructions with enthusiasm, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation. That is, cultivate it, bring it to full effect, actively pursue spiritual maturity. With awe-inspired fear and trembling, using serious caution and critical self-evaluation to avoid anything that might offend God or discredit the name of Christ. Verse 13, for it is not your strength, but it is God who is effectively at work in you, both to will and to work, that is, strengthening, energizing, and creating in you the longing and the ability to fulfill your purpose for His good pleasure. Verse 14, do everything without murmuring or questioning the providence of God, so that you may prove yourselves to be blameless and guileless, innocent and uncontaminated children of God, without blemish, in the midst of a morally crooked and spiritually perverted generation, among whom you are seen as bright lights, beacons shining out clearly in the world of darkness, holding fast and offering to everyone the word of life, so that in the day of Christ, I will have reason to rejoice greatly because I did not run my race in vain, nor labor without result. Father, we thank you for your word today. Father, we thank you for the next few moments that we're going to spend, Lord, talking about how to live godly in an ungodly world. Lord, I thank you for the light that's shone in our hearts. Lord, many years ago, shone in my heart oh God, to shine in my darkness, Lord, so that I can now reflect your light. Lord, we give you praise for this time. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Live godly. Man, that sounds easy, Mike. Just live godly. Turn to your neighbor, say, live godly. Hey, that's simple to do, isn't it? Just live godly. No, it's not. It's hard not to get attitudes and feelings of anger and I might even go so strong as hate when you see what people are doing to the innocent. And it just, oh. You know, all of a sudden, you really look at yourself. You have to really look at your heart and say, okay, what's going on in my heart because of all that's going around me and the injustices that you see and the things that you just, they're wrong and yet the world is embracing wrong. The world is embracing sin. Can I not be politically correct and say that? The world is embracing sin and darkness. And we're really not so much better than those Jews who were saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, glory to God in the highest. And a few days later, those same voices, crucify him. I believe in some way our society is doing the exact same thing. That we're speaking out of both sides of our mouth. Paul starts off here then saying that, now, dear ones, just as you've always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now even more in my absence, he brings out a very interesting phrase in verse 12. Work out. Everyone say work out. Work out. Got to work out. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You see, here's the truth. God began the work, and we get to finish it. Can I say that again? God began the work of salvation in our hearts. The Holy Spirit came, convicted us of our sin, let us see the darkness, let us see that we needed a Savior. And God and the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit is God, but they began that work and there was a conviction and we finally came to the place in our walk with God, many of us have many years ago, where we said, Lord, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. And boom. As I said earlier, the work of salvation was done and our spirit man was immediately changed. Poof, just like that. But Paul's saying here, listen, you need to continue to work out to bring it to us a full, notice what the Amplified said is. Here's what we're to do with our salvation. Cultivate it, bring it to full effect, and actively pursue spiritual maturity. Cultivate it. Be able to grow our salvation. Amen. We're coming into that season. Some of you are crazy enough. I don't even want to ask Sam how many tomato plants he already has in the ground. We're at that time, we're getting ready to plant some things in our gardens. And you've already got your cold weather vegetables already in there. You've got your lettuce and your kale and all those other things. But we're getting ready to plant some spring vegetables in our gardens, right? And that's right. You're another one of those guys that's got way too many plants. But what do you do to the garden? You plant it and you say, all right, walk away, and you forget about it. No, it's going to take a little bit of time and effort to cultivate the garden. As a matter of fact, it's going to take... I apologize. I still use a weed eater to de-weed my garden. But for most of you, you get out there on your hands and knees and you pull and you pluck and you cultivate it and you love it and you water it and you got to make sure it's got the right pH and all these things. And you've done all that. Well, how many of you know to work out our salvation requires great effort also? To bring it to its completion, to bring it to its place where it is a glory to God and it becomes salt and light to everyone around us, it doesn't happen by itself. there has to be a cultivation. There has to be a pulling it together and fertilizing it. Amen? You know, fertilize your garden, don't you? I love Miracle-Gro. I love Miracle-Gro. But how many of you know Miracle-Gro for your soul? The Word of God. Time in God's presence. That's the Miracle-Gro for our souls that we need. Because again, our spirit it's moving on right along fine because it's been changed. It's changed. But our soulish man, our mind, will, and emotions, boy, it needs help. As I was praying about this, I said, Lord, is there anything though? And he said, yes, I want you to remind the people. This may be the youth pastor coming out of me, I don't know. But we need to get to the place in our relationship with God as we're cultivating our salvation. We're more concerned about not disappointing our Heavenly Father than we are breaking the rules. Can I say that again? We're more concerned about our Heavenly Father being disappointed. We don't want to disappoint our Heavenly Father. We don't want to disappoint, you know, because, you know, so many people see Christianity as rules and regulations. And there are some rules that we follow, isn't it? There's some rules that we do, but our focus should become, as we begin to mature in Christ, we are more concerned about the one that we love than we are breaking the rules. That becomes more our focus. Is how can I, as a married couple, you know, two individuals, and Ethan and Alicia have already come to their first, have to come together and make a decision because she wants her car got totaled from that getting her knee. Whacking the steering wheel, they just told her car. So she wants another Toyota, but guess what? She's marrying a Ford man. Huh? Right? And so they're having to come together and get it. All right. And so this is the beginning of their marriage. And I know when Melissa and I got married in 1985, my anniversary is coming up also, like your anniversary. On May 11th, my anniversary. And there were some things right away that Melissa and I had to come to terms on. And she said, here's what I would really like you to do, David. Here are my rules. I want you to pick up this and pick up after this. I want you to leave the toilet seat down. Right? And so at first, okay, I need to make sure I do this because, you know, these are the rules that she wants me to try to follow. Do I still do a good job? No, but I'm trying. But now I've gotten to the place in my relationship with my wife that I don't want to disappoint her. I love her so much. She's the world to me. And I don't want to disappoint her. I don't want to hurt her and do something that I know that would bother her. I just don't, because I love her that much. You know what? I love my Heavenly Father so much. I love Jesus so much. I don't want to disappoint him. I don't want to hurt his, I don't want to hurt the Holy Spirit's feelings. And that becomes our motivation rather than the rules being our motivation. Amen? That's what spiritual maturity will bring us to. Amen? Verse 13. For it is not your strength, but it is God who is working in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Amen? For it is God that is effectively working in us both to will and to do for his good pleasure. You see, if we want to be brighter lights in this wicked world, we've got to allow God to work on us. Amen? We've got to allow the Holy Spirit to point some things out on us. I love these next few verses. Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 8 says, "But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. And you are the potter, and all we are the work of your hand." We're up on the wheel, church, aren't we? And we're saying, God, you know the right way to shape me. You know the right way to mold me. You know the right what needs to be taken off and what is good for me and what's not. Here's a question for us today, church. Do we want the potter's hand to come off us and leave us alone? Do we want the potter's hand to come off us and just let us do our own ways? In the natural, we say, yeah, I, because sometimes the shaping is uncomfortable. Amen? Sometimes the forming is uncomfortable. But how many of you know God is trying to, for His good pleasure, He knows what needs to be happening in our lives so that we can be the most, because here's the bottom line of our message today. God wants us to be impact Christians. We are to impact the world that is around us. We're to be salt and light. We're to be influencing the world around us. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7 says this. We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. How many of you are thankful for the treasure that we have this morning? Amen. This makes it clear that our great power is from God and not from ourselves. Wow. So thankful this morning for the work of the Holy Spirit that's changing us and is helping us to become what we need to be. But we have to say, God, here I am. Lord, let your word speak to me today. Amen? I mean, you know, just spending time in the word and seeing what the Bible says, all of a sudden things the Holy Spirit will draw those verses out, and all of a sudden it'll start applying to your lives, and you realize that, okay, this is an area where I need to be able to humble myself and allow this to happen in my lives, because God's not just going to push us over and do it. Notice the result then, I believe, verse 15. Let's go back to Philippians chapter 2. Let's go back to verse 15, and let's see the end results. So that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent. You will prove yourselves because of the work of the gospel, because of the work of salvation in our lives. We will prove ourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God above reproach, so that no one can criticize you. Man, I like that. I wish I was there. But that's my goal. That's my goal. So that no one can criticize me or you. So live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world that is crooked and perverse. I like to swim. I don't know about you, but I realize this. I'm swimming up current. I'm not swimming with the current. I'm swimming up current, and all the rest of society is going with the current. And here we are as believers saying, you know what? We're not called to go this way. We're called to go upstream so that no one can criticize you. Living above reproach, living above accusation, living above of people being able to point at us, and our reputation. That'll be our reputation. Think about what your reputation is, church. What's the reputation of your family? What's the reputation you think of Living Waters here in the community? What type of reputation do we have? Are we a loving? Do we have a reputation as a loving church? Do we have a reputation as a church that's a giving church? What is our reputation? And we bring that down individually. What is our reputation at? Because we are lights, beacons. I like the way I think the Amplified said, we are beacons in a very dark and crooked and perverse world. We were encouraged, we read last week in Ephesians chapter 5, didn't we? Therefore, walk as children of the light. Walk as children of the light, for you were once darkness. We were all in that place where we were walking in darkness, but now the light is shining in our hearts, and now we're to walk as children of the light. Again, this is the process of salvation, wasn't it? We were, how does it put it in Ephesians? We were dead in our trespasses. We were dead. We didn't have a hope. We didn't have a future. We didn't have anything going good for us. But yet God shined His light down in our darkness. And grace did kick in. And the Holy Spirit began to move and began to put something in our hearts that we need to change. We're the light of the world, church. We are the salt of the earth. We are here not to just be a secret service or secret agent Christians. Think about a secret agent, And they don't want to be noticed, and they don't want people to for them to stand out, and so they want to blend in. But my Bible says when you look at the people in the book of Acts, these were those who turned the world. This was the accusation against them in the book of Acts. These are those who turned the world upside down. Man, that's an impact Christian. They're having an impact with those around them. They want to be salt. They want to be noticed. They want people to be able to say, look at me, because I have a Savior in my heart that's changed me. I'm not perfect, but just look what God has done for me. That is my testimony. That is your testimony, isn't it? Look what the Lord has done. Look at me. And you openly challenge people to look at your life and say, here, go ahead and inspect this life. Because I think and Paul was able to say it, listen, follow me as I follow Christ. That's a strong statement, isn't it? Go ahead and imitate me as I try to imitate Christ. That's a high standard, but I believe that's what God's calling us to. If we're really living godly in an ungodly world, it comes out in every part of our lives. It comes out in our relationships. It comes out in how we treat people. It's the one thing that I found. I told you this a couple weeks ago. The one thing I found in school, man, there's some vicious, vicious kids who try to make other kids feel horrible so they can think they make themselves look better. We're here to live and impact the world. We're here to do whatever we can to be salt and light. Turn with me for a moment over to Matthew chapter 17. Because Jesus understood something. We're not to go around offending people with the gospel. Now, I believe the gospel will offend those. Don't get me wrong. There's no gray area in the gospel, is there? But Jesus' heart for people was, don't blow them away before you even get a chance to love on them and get to show them who you are. Some people get so blown away by Christians, they don't even get a chance to know who they are and to see Jesus come out in them. I want people to see Jesus in me. I want them to see in me. What I'm hoping is, and I know, Judy, your heart is the same way. When you're in that classroom with those kids, as you interact with those kids, you want them to see something different in you. Man, there's something different about Miss Johnson. The joy of the Lord, the smile that's on her face, the way that she communicates, her compassion, all those things comes out. And that's my desire, is to those things to come out. And again, I know that I can't, if I don't intentionally get out there among the sinners, they'll never know the Jesus that I love. Can I say that again? Unless I'm intentionally getting out there and trying to rub shoulders with these kids and these coaches and the ones they will never see Jesus in me from this pulpit. So guess where I am right now, 3 days out of the week? I'm on the tennis court, hitting balls, practicing, helping, rubbing shoulders with high schoolers so that they will see Jesus. It's my goal. Because, again, I have to be intentional about rubbing shoulders, because if I'm just rubbing shoulders with you guys, I love you. But you don't cuss. You don't have bad habits. You don't, you're not heathens. You're not sinners. You don't drop F-bombs. Well, I hope you don't. We used to. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. But that's who I'm called to be around. That's who you are called to be around. Some good old-fashioned sinners. And you rub shoulders with them. Just love on them. Let Jesus come out of you. And the Holy Spirit will do the work. Matthew chapter 17, starting in verse 24. And when they had come to Capernaum, those who receive the temple tax, we're in tax season, so I thought this was absolutely awesome to talk about. Those who received the temple tax came to Peter and said, "Does your teacher not pay the temple tax?" Verse 25, Jakoda. Verse 25, he said yes. I got to help these poor boys out. They're getting creamed by the girls in scripture memory. They're just getting creamed by the girls. He said yes. Okay? You memorize that, right? Say that Wednesday night. He said yes. Matthew 17, 25. I wish I had more of our boys here because they could all use a little help in their scripture memory. They said, "Does he not pay temple tax?" He said, "Yes." And when he came into the house, Jesus anticipated him, saying, "What do you think, Simon? From whom do the kings of the earth take custom or taxes? From their sons or from the strangers?" And Peter said, "From the strangers. And yet us sons are surely paying, aren't we?" And Jesus, we're paying as sons. We're sons of the kingdom. And yet it's not the strangers that are paying, it's the sons that are paying. And Jesus said to him, "The sons are free. Nevertheless, lest we offend them, lest we cause them to look at us and say, they're living above the law. They think that they're so different that they don't have to obey the law. Nevertheless, we offend them. Go to the sea, throw out a hook, and the first fish you catch, open its mouth and take a look inside, and then you will grab the coin that's inside the fish's mouth. Take that and give it to them for me and you." What a great story. What a great miracle. And again, I love the fact he didn't ask Peter to go sell a house. "Peter, I need you to get in the real estate market. Peter, I need you to go play the stock market. Peter, I need you to go do this." What does Peter know how to do? Catch fish. So what is God going to ask him to do? Something he already... God always asks what we can do. What we have, not what we don't have. Just go catch a fish, Peter. And when you catch that first fish, and again, this the nets, we're not using the nets this time. We've got the rod and the reel, right? Because he says there's a hook. And the first fish you pull up with that hook, look inside the mouth, and there will be a coin. And with that coin, you go ahead and pay our temple tax so that they will see that we're law-abiding citizens and that we're not above the law. I'm so excited. I have a denarius coming. Just to think about it, something that's 2,000 years old that I'll be holding in my hand. And what do the disciples say, and Jesus say, "Who's the picture on this denarius?" Caesar Augustus. So I've got a denarius that was manufactured in probably about 7 or 8 B.C. And it's got a picture of Caesar Augustus on it. This probably might be the same coin that Jesus showed him. I don't know. Anyway, he said, whose picture's on here? Caesar's. Well, pay unto Caesar's what Caesar's then. Pay unto God that which is God's. Amen? Amen. That's living it out, amen, in a practical way in front of everyone that and Jesus said, "Listen, I don't want you to offend, we don't want to offend anybody, even though this temple tax is probably not the best." Okay, let's close. Verse 16. Holding fast the word of life. Holding fast the word of life. So that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or I have not labored in vain. That we are, and I love the way the Amplified says that we are giving away. That we are giving away the word of life to everyone that we meet. Living godly in an ungodly world. And like I said, it's as we look and see what's going around, man, it's like, Lord, how can we do this? How can we stand strong? What's our memory verse? Can you put our memory verse up? Stand with me. Isaiah 57. "For the Lord God will help me." Come on, say it with me. "For the Lord God will help me. Therefore, I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I will not be ashamed." For the Lord God's going to help us, church, to be lights. He's gonna, and you know what? He's gonna cause people to cross your path this week. I believe that with all my heart. That we come in here every week and we get filled so that we may be poured out. We come here every week to get encouraged so that we can get back out there and fight the good fight of faith. And it is a fight to live the godly life. It is a battle with our flesh, a battle with the heavenlies. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of darkness. Amen? But the Lord God, the Holy Spirit's going to help us. And I got news for you, boys and girls. I read the back of the book. We win. We win. Now, I don't know how it's all going to play out. I pray that you've already absentee voted this week. I think the numbers are going to be for voting will be off the charts good. But make sure you do your civic part and go out this week. If you haven't voted, vote. Go vote on Tuesday. Vote the best you can, according to what the ones the choices that you have. Amen. But ultimately, God, Father, we thank you today. Come on, just thank him today. Father, we thank you that you allow us to work out our salvation, to bring it to its fullest fruition, to be able to bring it to its place of maturity. God, I thank you that you called us as people of Living Waters Fellowship, Lord, to go and be lights in a crooked and perverse world. God, let our marriages stand out as marriages of love and marriages that are being kept with the bond of the Holy Spirit. Lord, let our testimony be when we're in the community, when we're around sinners. Lord, let it be obvious by our language. Lord, let it be obvious by our character and the character traits that come out of us, oh God. Father, so thankful for the fruit of the Spirit. Lord, that's why you're able to say, Lord, taste and see that the Lord is good. And they'll be able to taste when they rub shoulders with us and see that you are good because of the fruit of the Spirit that is being produced in our lives, that's being cultivated, that you've asked us to do. God, we go now in your power. We go now in your blessing in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. The Lord keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you. May he grace you. And may the God of peace soon crush Satan under your feet. In Jesus' name, amen.